Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I realized we were not meant to be. We were in love because of circumstance.
At what point in this first marriage are you realizing that I made a mistake?
I don't think it's because he loved me so much. I think it was because traditionally that's what he saw his parents do and he didn't want to give up.
I'm talking about music, entertainment industry, royalty, Grammy nominated artist, songwriter. We in here rocking with Selena Jacob.
When you go through that rough patch, yeah, you'd love to run, or do you say, all right, so this is what God was talking about?
And you guys got into marriage purely out of boredom.
We've been through worse shit than that. I wanted a husband, a father for my children, stability, and I want to be able to come home and share my stories with someone who only cares about me.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here with another episode. My co-host, Ryan Ketchens.
Let's get it, man. So this is the thing. We got some industry royalty in the building with us. So we're really about to get a pop.
Absolutely do. I'm talking about music industry, entertainment industry royalty. Grammy nominated artist, songwriter, author, but none of those are above mother.
Hello, somebody.
And wife.
Okay.
Of 17 years. So the conversation is going to be incredible. We in here rocking with Selena Johnson. Welcome to Hardly Initiated.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you got some great energy. So I know we're going to have a good conversation.
You.
Yes, we've had Love McPherson on here twice now. And y'all, Love McPherson is this amazing woman's therapist.
That is correct. That's my dog.
That has a layer of credibility to the conversation too.
It does.
Because we get incredible people who actually doing the work.
Man. That part.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people. They run around here talking about they doing work and they not.
And none of them in therapy. Mm-hmm.
Just selfing all over people. People and all over people.
Yeah. So look, guys, we're going to get into a great conversation. I first want to show love to our episode sponsor before we get into the game.
So guys, let me tell you, we sent out a recent email. So if you're not on the email list, make sure you click the link in the description to get on the email list. But one of the questions that we asked is, what is your biggest relationship challenge? And the thing is, so many people have been hitting us with the same response. It's, hey, Ryan, Tyshawn, I just been out the game too long. I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to do. So this is the thing. Tyshawn and I both put in a lot of work, a lot of man hours to come up with 100 open-ended questions to take your dates to the next level.
Mm. Wow.
And this is the thing. All you got to do is pick the place and pull out these cards, because what it is, you haven't forgot how to date and how to have conversation, but it's difficult to get over the anxiety of meeting a new person, the excitement of going to a place you might not be familiar with. Mm-hmm. So these cards bring it all into focus and make everything so much easier.
And there you go. Get the right here, link in the description, guys. You can go ahead and get your Hardly in Love deck today. And now I'm switching focus to you. All right.
Hey, now.
Amazing story. I've done so much research on you, Selena, before you came up in here. And you got an incredible story. You know, you're on your second marriage here now.
That is correct.
Which, you know, statistically, it's funny. They actually say the second marriage, the likelihood of it failing is higher than
really?
The first. That's actually the stats.
Do
now,
the stats.
I ain't wishing that on you, though.
But do the stats have like a B part section where it's like, unless your first marriage was a fool. If your first marriage, sub area. If your first marriage was the fool, then your second one probably.
Why was
the real
the fool? Why would you describe it as the fool?
Because we were young. We were young and we really just didn't have nothing else to do. We was in college. We was on smoke. You want to get married? Like it was a sport, you know, like we was going to the mall, you know. And we were in love, like, because of circumstance, you know. We were in college, and you know how you're in college, you're shacked up. So we were in love. I had just signed a Jive Records, so I was kind of bored just sitting and waiting, you know, I hadn't done any work or anything yet. And we were just like, let's just get married.
Casually.
And he was a sweetheart. He was a nice guy. He wasn't a bad guy. Mm-hmm. We just didn't do good because we were just young and we had no clue what we were even getting into. Like, we gonna get deep into it. I can just see y'all faces. In terms of marriage, right. But marriage is not what we thought it was. You know what I'm saying? We were only 23 and 21. So yeah.
You was 23, he was 21.
Correct. That is correct.
And you guys got into marriage purely out of boredom.
Well, I was bored. And not bored with him. I was bored with my life. You know, I was on Jive Records and there was a desperation of movement. You know? And I felt like at the time, because he was so loving and so Selena driven and Selena based, you know, and so was I. I was very him based as well. I just thought that was real because my career hadn't become real to me yet. I'd signed a record deal and it didn't feel like anything, you know? So that felt real. That felt solid, you know? So I say it was more out of boredom. I feel like had I been moving and grooving and on the road, I would have never said yes. Wow. You see what I'm saying? I would have been busy enough and I wouldn't have been thinking, oh, let's go get married to nobody. You know,
I think a lot of people get in that space in life, you know, especially early on as you're young. So they might go to college. They might, after college, they say, well, I just need to get a job. After the job, I need to get a, you know, a house or a wife and that type of deal. So in retrospect, if you can go back to that time in your life, rather than pushing forward with a marriage, what could you have done to kind of get yourself settled and prepare for what the right next thing was?
I should have finished my degree. I dropped out of school. I dropped out of college to sign a record deal. And then I went home for a while thinking it was going, you know, pop immediately. But when it didn't, I was in a relationship with, before my first husband, when I went home, after I, you know, signed the record deal, I went back to Chicago and was in a relationship with a horrendous man. You know, just nuts. He was if anything you think of that a man do bad, like if terrible ass man was a person, it's him. You know, you look his ass up in the dictionary, he'd be smiling, you know. He was nuts. But I was like 19, he was 20-something, 27. So that looked like he was an old man at the time, you know.
Right.
But he was awful, and he pretty much wrote my first album based on how terrible he was. I pretty much got all my material from him.
Wow.
To the point where I ran back to where I used to go to school to kind of get away from that situation, you know? And then that's where I met my first husband, you know what I'm saying? So what I would have done instead of running back down there to just live, I should have run back down there, enrolled back in school, and finished my degree while I was down there. You see what I'm saying? And then I wouldn't have had to worry about finishing that degree later. So if there was one thing I could have done in that moment, probably finish my degree. I probably wouldn't have got married in that, you know, in the mindset, because you've been busy, you know? Yeah. So, I should have finished my degree.
So at what point in this first marriage are you realizing that I made a mistake? What is there an event that take place where it was evident that based on this event, this ain't right?
Absolutely. And matter of fact, I retract. Not only should I have gotten my degree, I should have moved out of the state. I should have moved to either LA or New York. Probably New York, because that's where I was flying back and forth. but when you're from Chicago, you have this mindset of Chicago. So you don't, you're nervous to move. It's very odd. I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. But I had just got off tour with R. Kelly, the TP2 tour. And my husband at the time, he was like my road manager. And I swear to God, he got on my nerves so bad on that tour. It didn't make no sense. He got on my nerve when I tell you. And I realized we were not meant to be. We were not meant to be. And so when we came off of that tour, and I'm sure I got on his too, but when we came off that tour, because, you know, you could look back on it and be like, oh, I probably was the fool to him as well. Mm-hmm. But when we got off that tour, I didn't even want to be anywhere near him. I went and lived with my, I just left everything. We left everything. We didn't have much anyway. But I just went and stayed at my mama's house and was like, don't open a door for me. I don't want anything to do it. I don't want to be bothered.
But, wow. But what was it in particular that made you feel that way? Was it communication issues y'all were having? Was it just petty problems?
It was all of the above. It was abuse. It was all of the above to each other, fighting, just being nuts, just being a fool. You know, if you could think of your young.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Relationships that were flagrant, mm-hmm. and just a fool, you okay. know, where you back and forth with somebody turning up all the time. That should have been one of those relationships that you learn from, not a relationship that you get married into.
And he was your role manager.
Yeah, but by default, you know. So what happened was, because I'm new on the label, the tour was already set. It was the TP2 tour, Sunshine Anderson. Hey, girl, that's my girl. Sunshine Anderson was opening for him. She was the solid opener. Her song, Heard It All Before, remember that song?
Yep, yeah, of course.
So she was the solid opener. She was doing excellent, and that was on the bill. But because I was on Jive Records, I had just signed on Jive Records, and they wanted me to go out. You know, my album just released. R. Kelly and the Jive Records decided, well, let's put Selena on the front. You know, it's only had like 15 minutes. But I was like, shoot, I go do 15 minutes, you know, in front of these, we were in arenas.
Right.
You know, we were selling out stadiums, you know. So, but of course, when you the opener of the opener, you get to the end of the stick. So I'm on the tour bus. Tour bus was, she had a tour bus look like the, the tour bus was the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo.
Alrighty.
When I tell you, it was a mess. It broke down 37 times. It was cold in the back, hot in the front. It was just a fool. But to me, it's like, oh, I'm on tour with R. Kelly, so I don't care. Y'all niggas can put me in the back of a van and I'm good, you know?
Right.
But we didn't have a budget. I wasn't getting paid at all. It was like promotional, right? But 40 cities and I'm promotional.
Wow. Bad.
Wow. Never in life would I accept that now. But I'm 23, you know, 22, 23 years old. Fine, let's go. So it's either that or nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So but the label gave us per diem. So they gave like me $1,000 a week, and they gave like my background singer $750 a week. And then they paid the tour manager $1,000 a week and the sound man $1,000 a week. So in our mind, let's bring it back into our home. You be the tour manager.
That makes sense.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So instead of us getting $1,000 a week, let's get $2,000 and you come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Which turns out to be $8,000 a month, which ain't no small cheese, you
right.
know. At the end of the day, it's, you know, worth it, you know. So that's how he became the road manager. And then the sound man left. He was a fool. He acted a fool on the tour. And my husband kicked him off. It's just a mess. And he younger than me, being a fool on the tour. So we didn't have that. That's how he became the tour manager. And in his defense, he didn't know what he was doing. He was 21, 22 years old, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing, so I can't direct him. My sister, who was my business manager at the time, ended up coming on to help at the end, who's still my manager to this day. But that's how he got on the tour. It wasn't like, it was basically financial because I wasn't getting paid. Now, at the end of the tour, Sunshine and them, they couldn't do it anymore. I don't remember what happened with them, but I ended up being the opener, the actual opener, and then I got something after that. But it still was like a little. I think it was like $5,000 for like the whole 40-some cities, but to me, it was like, but I was able to work my single, and from there, I was able to get a lot of other bookings and shows and things of that nature, so.
So divorce pretty much proceeded immediately after
the tour. Let me tell you something. I was one step off the tour bus. with the paper in my hand and the foot on the tarmac. I was ready to get a divorce. And he was not. He did not want to get a divorce. And it wasn't because he, I don't think it was because he loved me so much. I think it was because traditionally that's what he saw his parents do. And he didn't want to give up. You know, again, another athlete mindset mentality of giving up, which is not something he wanted to do. But,
it was time to go.
Yeah, I know.
I
couldn't take it no more.
And so was it like a conversation you had with him, or it was?
I don't even remember if we had a conversation. And then I also talked to him in length about, you know, when I gave him the divorce papers. He wasn't served. I just gave to him. He didn't want to sign them. And I think then they tried to serve him or whatever. But it took long. We were together a year, was married for a year. It took 3 more years just to have a finalized divorce. Mm. Just from being stubborn and stupid, you know, so.
Being difficult in the process.
Correct. So.
That process probably wrote you some more songs, huh?
Child. Right. Wore me thin. I know that. I was all the way through a whole nother album and worked it by the time it was done. But I don't have any ill will towards him. You know, I don't think in my life like, oh, he was terrible. Because he was absolutely not terrible. He did the best he could at 21, 22 years old. You know, we didn't know our asses from our elbows, you know. So he was doing the best he could. He was a sweetheart. He tried. And I tried too. I didn't know no better either. He even asked my mother for my hand in marriage. I mean, come on. He was trying. Yeah. You know, he was trying to be a proper husband and a stand-up guy, you know. And I really think he was hurting because his mom had passed, like, very recent. He was only 19 when his mom passed. So, and she was the one, he played basketball too, and she was the one that played basketball. So that was his tie, you know, in terms of sports for him. So he was very close to her. And I think his issue was that trauma came into the relationship. And at 22, 23, I don't know how to deal with that. So I kind of subconsciously became a mother figure. You see what I'm saying? Which didn't work for me at 22 and 23. I didn't know, looking back on it now, it's like I see where that didn't make sense. You know, I'm a baby myself and still in need of a mother figure as well, you know. Even though I have a mother, but still needing my mama, you know. So, the first marriage was not I didn't write albums about my first husband. My first husband was just really, he was a good guy. We just were too young.
But see, that's the thing. A lot of us are unprepared going into these, you know, tough commitments, which is why we have this platform in the first place.
Yeah.
We had Dr. Cindy Trim on recently, and she she talked about roles in a relationship, and she said that can happen.
That specific one.
That one in particular. Son. You can have a mother, and you can have a son. Sometimes you can have a father, and you can have a daughter. You can have a therapist. You can have a patient. And sometimes if everybody tore up, it'd just be two patients.
I wish I had the mother and the father and the daughter.
But see, but those is sometimes even hard to last, you know, because.
I know, but I just wish somebody tell me what to do and where to go all day long. I promise I wake up where and go where, tell me where and pay for it and do everything and just move me around like this here cart, like the Harley car. Just move me around like this all day. Sick of it.
Well, speaking of that, to some degree, you found a bit of leadership in this, your husband now that you have. You found a good bit of that.
Kiwan has a leadership. He does. But I'm to the point, and I ain't going to even lie to y'all. I'm to the point I'm so bananas and crazy. You know how when a person be like, you can't control me. I'm literally out of control. I'm just not the type of person that you can control. It's just not going to happen for nothing I can do. I just can't do it. I can't be controlled. So it's not that, and when I say out of control, I mean it in a jokingly way. Like, I'm out of control, you know. Me and Kiwan are friends. We are almost like brother and sister. I hate to say that. But the way that we talk to each other is like, if you saw how we talk, you would probably be like a fly on the wall, you would die laughing. Because we talk to each other like, he garbage. Like, it's not very much of a, and just be dying laughing about stuff that like friends would laugh about. It's not this. It's not walking around, I have to check with my husband. It'd be like, well, let me see what Kiwan say, because I don't know. You know, it's it's a very friendly, my homegirl, my homeboy relationship. In the beginning, it was very love and very starry and very my husband and my man, you know. But we have grown into this friendship because of the hardships that we've gone through. We've had to muscle through situations together. So the nature of our relationship has changed from lovers to teammates. You know what I'm saying? And in a very endearing way, though. We, of course, still very much love each other. We still have all that good love stuff. But it's more so teammates than anything. Like, how do we make this shit work together? Like, what's the plan? Let's get together and huddle. Break. You know, it's very much that. Because having children, I think, is what was the turning point. When we were single, turning up. We used to have so much fun because we just were by ourselves and we were together all the time and just in love, just being up on each other. But when kids come, it's not about y'all anymore, you know, as much as it should be. We're struggling to try to find that as Kiwan Jr. gets out. It's going to be the older the kids get, the easier it is. Kingston, don't be studying us. He'd be upstairs in his room building, playing toys, being 13. KJ is a full-time job because he has constant basketball tournaments and this and the that and this and the colleges and the this. It's really a circus with KJ. You know, he requires a lot of manpower, you know. So it takes away from, you know, us date night. Like the one thing we do that we will not compromise, we meet together on the orange couch. We have an orange couch in our house. So we meet there in the nighttime and we don't care what people do. My son came downstairs yesterday, case in point. Me and Kiwan are on the couch in heaven watching Mea Culpa, right? Mm-hmm. I've been waiting to see it. And we are locked to the screen having a good old time, right? Because we love TV. We like Netflix. Like we'll sit and watch TV. We don't go out to clubs. We'll just meet on the couch and turn up. Like that's how I fall asleep there, get up, you know. So KJ comes downstairs. My son, I call him KJ. His nickname is KJ. Hey, Mom, Dad, I just did this TikTok and it's trending and then doing all this talking. And I looked at him and said, hey, man. We don't care. We don't give a damn about your TikTok. And I promise, I said those very words, and his heart just looked like it crushed. And Kiwan started dying laughing. We were laughing in our 16-year-old's face. Ha, ha, ha. We don't care. You don't see we watching a movie? Get on out of here. I'm like, look here, man. You didn't win a championship. You're the United States best basketball player of the world. Get on somewhere. We're trying to watch a movie, you right. know. So the orange couch is our general place of agreement. That's all we got right now. Other than that is who going to get pick up such and such. And then I'm going to take such and such to practice and I get Kingston, take him to his recital. And then we're going to take him to Sky Zone. And then you got to take this person and you got to do this and that.
See, we've had a lot of people come on the show and communicate that at the point where kids get in the picture. Everything that's truly changes. Where the relationship changes. And y'all been together for 15 years.
17. We've been together 17 years. We've been together 19.
Including the dating.
Correct. Okay. But we've been married 17 this year.
Married 17 this year. And, you know, so when you look at when you talk about the romantic phase that you guys had, how long did that last before them kids came in? When did the kids come into picture?
I was pregnant when I got married.
So that was year two.
But I will say this. The years that we lived in Italy were, even though I had KJ, you know, I had a small baby, we bonded so much. We had the best time there because we were, there was no TV. There was TV, but it was not like the type of TV you get here. You know, we had the good, you know, little joint sticks and stuff to get certain television shows, but.
And walk us through that, by the way, so the audience can understand, because you just jumped to Italy.
So I lived in Italy. I would leave. My husband played basketball overseas. He played in one of the Italian leagues. I would leave every August. He would go into the mountains. That's where they train for like 3 weeks. And after he comes from the mountains, I would go over there. Because in the mountains, they didn't have no TV in the room. Like, it was just the mountains, training, getting ready for the season, right? So I would come after that. And then we would just, I would stay there. And it was the best thing ever because there's no fast food. There's no DoorDash and all that foolishness. It's none of that over there. I had to use, like, the internet to call my mom and stuff. You know, they give you special cards and all that kind of stuff. But it's not like this accessible American. Everything was home cooked. Like, you know, it was Italian restaurants. We'd sit in there for hours and have five-course meals. Mm-hmm. And they'd be fantastic. And you drink wine all the time. And, you know, people are outside walking. And everybody's walking. And there's no crime. And everybody's just, you know, all these historic-looking buildings. And the food was just, and the culture and the shopping, you know. I lived in Milan, for Christ's sakes. You know, we had our own cars and, you know, I would drive to the gym. And, you know, it was just peaceful. There was no noise. So we were able to seclude ourselves. And in that way, I think, in that respect, I believe that's when we became the closest. Even with my son being over there, he was over there till he was 3 years old, three years old. And that's when Kiwan retired, got injury retired, whatever. But, to me, that's where we bonded the most. And then when we came home to America, when Kiwan he stopped playing, he had to retire. He was like 35. That's kind of early for him. I don't think he wanted to go back either. Mm. You know, a couple of our friends who were teammates, they would tell stories about how they just couldn't get back on the plane. They just couldn't leave their kids, you know, again and again and again, you know. But he suffered a depression. Because basketball is that's forever. Right. That's all he knows. Life. From a child. And that's what he's been praised for. That's all that he knows. He's been excellent at that his entire life, and then you take that away.
Mm. You know? Your role as a wife change?
Absolutely. Okay. It changed. I had to pick up where he left off, you know? And I had to, and you just do what you gotta do. That y'all a family. Y'all one person. Y'all one. So whatever you gotta do to make it move, whether it's frustrating at times or not, y'all one person. So.
But see, what was the difference in that? Because the first marriage you had, y'all ran into issues. You was like, let's get these divorce papers.
Right.
This marriage now is. Because
depression is a big deal.
Like somebody's like, it's like somebody's injured. They're not even playing right now.
Mindset and children, right? So if you remember, you know, in my 21, 22, I didn't get married to get married. You see what I'm saying? I don't think, you know? But when I married Kiwan, I married him to be together forever. Mm. In my mind, he's the one. This is the one. This is my baby daddy. We in it to win it. That's it. That's all. And I've in-laws I had to deal. You know, I've just been through so much with him. And I wanted to do that because I really, really love him. You know, and I really feel like I just know he's the one. He's the one for me. Even when he get on my last good ass nerve. And that's all the time. Now that ain't just that don't happen just on Thursdays. That's all the time he get on my nerve. But marriage is a choice, and love is an action word. Right? So it's not this groovy dress and showing up at the altar. Marriage is I decide to stay in this union with you forever. Till death do us part. But because we have divorce papers and all this other stuff, because I struggled with divorcing my husband because I was, God's going to be mad and this, that, you know, and this is terrible, you know, I'm not going to find him. But I struggle with that, but I know the point and the purpose of marriage, right? I know based on what I vowed to do. And guess what else? I don't want to be going around with 80,000 other people. I would love to find, and I have, the goal for me, my personal goals, because it doesn't have to be everybody's goals. You don't have to be the type of person that needs to find one person, and that's that. Again, we only live one life. You better live it the way you want to live it because it's not really going to even matter when you're gone. Right. So at the end of the day, I want to be with one person and share everything with that one person. That's what I want to do, you know. So with Kiwan, when I got married to him, it was a very different feel. It was a very different mindset. I was in a very different state of mind. I was 28 years old. I was ready to be married. I had a baby in my stomach that was going to be named after, it was a boy. I was going to be named. Everything about that moment was chosen, was the right thing to do for the right reasons. You know what I'm saying? So when you go through that rough patch, yeah, you'd love to run, or do you say, all right, so this is what God was talking about. So this is what the people be talking about, that when you're married, you're going to go through it. Okay, well, here we go. We athletes. Let's go, nigga. Get your game face on. We're going to get through this and some more, you know. So for me, with him, that's what we did. And because he's a fighter as well, we were able to muscle through things together, even in his depression, even in his sadness, even in mine. You know, even when my son kept having febrile seizures, he has autism, you know, and having him have seizures in my arms and scaring the shit out of me, and, you know, having to get on the road at 38 weeks pregnant, you know, and try to help us get our, you know, just get, bring money in the house when he stopped working, you know, even though he had savings, but that didn't last forever. So I had to continue, you know. So you look back on it now, you're like, it's all worth it, you know, because look at my sons, they're thriving. Where God has given us everything the devil could have ever taken from us and more, you know. Yeah. But you don't know that then. But I decided that at that time. I decided to be in love. That's a choice. I decided to stick in my marriage. That's a choice. And guess what? Even if inside that marriage things happen bad, you can stick, somebody cheat, whatever the case may be. Now it depends. If somebody is cheating on you and a fool and whooping your ass and being a fool, you should not stay in that marriage. Everybody know that. That's you stupid, right? If you don't know that.
Right.
But there are some other situations where the person stepped out. Maybe it's the woman. Maybe it's the man. Maybe it's the woman. And they worked it out and stayed and fixed it and be together. You think these marriages that be, we've been together 75 years, you think that's been all cherries and roses?
Right.
No. My grandparents were married for 51 years till my grandmother passed away. I was having a conversation with my grandfather, and I never forget it, in my kitchen, and I was sweeping. This man told me he used to hit my grandmother.
Wow.
My grandparents that I used to look at like Mr. and Mrs. Magoo. My grandfather was the grandfather who had candy in his pocket. Wow. My grandmother was very, you know, baby, talk like that. They were the stereotypical ideal of what marriage should be. And this man sat up in the kitchen and told me he hit my grandmother.
Wow.
So imagine, you know, these couples that's 90 years, they 90 years old, they've been married for 60-some, 70-some years. They've gone through some things. And it might not be things that maybe somebody else say they can deal with, but that's what they dealt with, and they got through it. You know what I'm saying? Marriage is in because people are not willing to fight. Now, like I said, you don't just fight for something that doesn't want you there, and you're going to know that. You know what I'm saying? Both people have to be willing to fight, but look at Cookie Johnson. She could have been like, oh, you got AIDS, Magic Johnson? Goodbye. You cheated on me. She's still with this man.
Insane.
But that works for them, and that works for her, and that's her boy, and that's his girl. You know what I'm saying? They're friends. They love each other as people. So who are we to say she's stupid for staying? Is she? Was she? Why the people sitting there by themselves? At the house, right. Wishing they had somebody to argue with. Now, I'm not saying everybody should stay in that situation, but that worked for them. Somebody might have looked at that situation and said, I would never do that. And that's okay too, but it's also okay to not be okay in a relationship and fix it and work on it. Because I'm gonna tell you something, it's gonna happen. And here's what I've learned, that's a good time that it just happened to me recently in recent years, probably because of therapy with Love McPherson, okay? Because she cold. Y'all know she cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I want young people to know, and I need single people to understand this. Marriage is this. When you step on the altar to marry someone, understand you're not marrying that person. You're marrying the changes that that person will go through. Who I am last year is not who I am today. And who I'll be in 5 years is not who I am sitting here talking to, who you're talking to today. We don't think about that when we get on the altar. We think, I'm in love with this person I see right here in front of me. But you have to think that in 5 years, that person's gonna look different, think different, maybe want a different job. And when you think of it that way, you're marrying, you're gonna marry someone who's gonna change. You're not marrying the person that's at the altar. You think about, yeah, we'll change together. No, they might change and not have the same love for you. And you can even work through that. They might change and might have a different attraction. You can even work through that. You know what I'm saying? You can work through anything that you decide to work through. You know what I'm saying? But the choice, the thing that people need to understand is you're not marrying the person that you see. You're marrying their future. You're marrying who they'll be in the future.
So when these changes happen, right, in these relationships.
Correct.
A lot of things around it, the relationship happens and changes. Like, let's say the levels of intimacy and how love is expressed and shown. Had you experienced that specific situation where something happened in the marriage, whether it was Kiwan's depression or maybe some changes with you, where the level of intimacy was just completely different than what it had been prior?
Oh, God. It's called 40s.
Okay.
It's called 40s and 50s. I don't know if you guys are in your 40s and 50s yet.
No, 30s.
Oh, but I'm going to tell you a little secret. Things happen to your body that you don't have control over. It's called menopause. Mm. And for men, they go through a certain level of things, too, that affects them as well. It affects their testosterone because you lose it as you age. Mm-hmm. Viagra's not just to go all night for just regular everybody. It was created because of that. It's an actual chemical that is necessary for some men because of their lack of testosterone. It's a thing that actually happens to them that they have no control over. Women as well. When we go through hormonal fluctuations, we absolutely lose our sex drive. And then in the 40s, it can spike. Well, we want to do it all the time. And then now the man is like, I don't have no sex drive.
Wow.
And you have to, it's called talk to each other. If you love somebody, you're going to sit there and talk to them and be like, well, I don't like you no more because your sex drive is gone. Even if you go to the doctor, the actual doctor, like I literally just went to the gynecologist to check to see where I am in terms of menopause because I'm 47. Thank the Lord, I'm nowhere near it. I'm not in the perimenopause. I ain't in the menopause, right? And I know I'm not because I'm having a good time on certain concepts. But there are times where you could just be tired. You know what I'm saying? Kiwan's not going to look at me and be like, I want a divorce. And vice versa. It's going to be, again, you have to understand, you're dealing with two athletes. I do. What can we do? Let's put our heads together. What can you do on your team? You're the point guard. I'm going to be the two guard. This is what we're going to do. What's the game plan in order to get this thing back on track? That's what marriage is supposed to be like. Two people working together on their happiness. However, they have to do it individually too. You have to be individually happy over here and over here so you can come together and bring that happiness in the middle. Because that's another thing. If I'm over here doing the work, like you said earlier, and you ain't, then now guess what? I'm growing at a faster rate than you are, which also causes, you know, some trouble. But if you don't love that person, if you love someone, you're not going to penalize them for things that happen to them that are natural things that happen to all men and women. All men and women. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, there are some men who never have that. Probably, you know, people that lift weights and they have best diets and they're perfect. You know, they might not deal with that because they have a higher level of testosterone. That's, you know, working out and eating right keeps your levels of testosterone higher, right? But that ain't always the case. Sometimes you can be working out and still be fighting against just different bodily functions that you can't control. You know what I'm saying?
So how did you guys work through it? Like, was it a specific – because I think intimacy is a – it's a different kind of issue, you know, especially when you run into these things that's outside of your control. Mm-hmm. You know, your body's involved. Your, mm-hmm. You know, the desire is correct. Involved. It's now, you know, first of all, what are y'all doing now to figure out how to rectify this issue?
Well, we communicate. I have to know where your body is and my body is. And if we have to take supplementation, we take supplementation. If we have to plan it, we'll plan it. A lot of times the shit end up in absolute roars of laughter because of the different antics that we have to go through, remembering that we didn't need antics, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's just we need a vacation. Mm. It's times when me and Kiwan go on a vacation and we can't come out the room. Cause we so happy we don't have to deal with kids. We'll just make up something to have sex a whole bunch of times. Just try. Even if we can't do it, we'll just keep doing something. You know? So sometimes it's a vacation. Sometimes it's location. Sometimes it's things that he said or things that he's done or vice versa, things that I've said, things that I've done. And it's just a matter of communicating. Where are you in your body? Where am I in my body? And if I don't want to do it, respecting that I don't want to do it, and if he doesn't feel like it, or if he falls asleep on me, because one thing you do in your late 40s and 50s is fall asleep. You have a good time falling asleep. So if he falls asleep or whatever, you can't be like, all the time. Like, that's right. Crazy. It's selfish. You know what I'm saying? Because you said, for better or for worse, you know, we've been through worse shit than that. You know, we could get through that, you know. So it's just a matter of communication and knowing where your partner is and being okay with that.
So that wasn't one of the more difficult issues that you guys had to work through?
No, we still be going through it. Like, sometimes I just don't be feeling like it. Sometimes he don't be feeling, you know, we still go through those bodily concepts. Yeah. That's why I went to a whole doctor to see. And sometimes it could be just fatigue, depression.
Yeah.
I have anxiety. I have real bad anxiety. So it could be that, you know, it could be anything, you know, it could be the wind. My knees hurt. I got arthritis in my knee, you know, my back is hurting today, you know, it could be anything. So it's just a matter of communicating. That's one of the things that I don't think, now I can say that for me. I don't know what that is for him as a man. It might bother him more. You know, y'all different. Y'all have a good time needing sex every 5 seconds.
100%.
So, It could be more stressful for him, but my intention to help facilitate that is there.
Yeah.
So I don't have I don't want to do it. And I don't care what he say. I'll still do it even if I don't feel like it, just for him even sometimes. Because we a team. You see right. What I'm saying? And that's just the way that is with us. Right. I don't know.
Take me back to this, because I want to touch on this while we got you here, because you went from having, I will call it, probably even a noisy life, mm-hmm. being in the music business. Mm-hmm.
It's still a mess, okay?
But you were single, you were in the business, mm-hmm. you was moving and shaking, and now you transition this whole new role of wife and mother. Mm-hmm. So there was like this gap that had took place, because I think that's a very different role that ain't got nothing to do with mm-hmm. none of that other stuff, with you being the mogul, the businesswoman, the artist is completely different from the wife. Correct. And the mother. Was that a difficult transition for you to move from one to another, or was it seamless for you?
So men struggle with this concept because they don't naturally have it. We have what you call a baby itch, right? So in that gap, what happens is womanhood, the fact that you're a woman. And the need to nest and to have a family and to have children. I have friends that are going through it later. I have, because they're single. Wow. But at 28, 29 years old, I was in a nesting phase. Like, I was in a mindset of, you know, I started to come home and it was just like, I had this town home with these 20-foot ceilings and I'd be talking like, hello, and it just me echoes. And I realized, girl, you're alone, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you're 28, 29 years old, and the clock is ticking, you know? So in my mind shifted from just wanting to hang out and have different guys or whatever, and go on dates and whatever, to I want a husband and I want a father for my children, and I want stability, and I want to be able to come home and share my stories with someone who only cares about my stories, you know, and vice versa, you know? So that natural shift, and I think that natural shift happened for me because of the example that my grandparents showed, you know, before I found out he was here. You know, a fool. But that example, my mother and father were together for 26 years, you know. So I was already in the mindset trained husband and wife, you know, that at the end of the day, that's the next progression. And I just, I don't know, I'm just different. I'm a self-motivated human, and I don't really have a lot of people. I didn't have people like talking to me. I just knew shit all the time. I don't know why. I just be knowing stuff. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit, you know. But it was just like a voice that's like, it's time. It's time for this. This is the time. And it was, you know, this is the time. This is the guy, you know.
I think that's dope because, so I think that's dope because we have a lot of successful ladies that come to the platform, and not all of them are, I would say, as open to share something like that, particularly, hey, this is how I felt when I was this age, and then this is what I decided to do. Mm-hmm. I would say sometimes we'll have women that will completely dismiss that is even a thing, like the baby itch or feeling, you know, some biological connection to nesting and having a family.
It's real.
And they would just act like it just does not exist.
It does exist. And unfortunately, the today's woman is so inundated with the workplace, you can't even notice it. Case in point, I didn't really notice it until I was 28, 29 years old. I signed the Jive Records at 21. So I hit the ground. You see what I'm saying? When you hit the ground and you're constantly focused on your career and your stuff, it's not until you get a minute to settle to realize what's going on. It's almost like being on the road and then you get home, you're like, man, I feel sick. You didn't know you were catching a cold the whole time, you know, because I gotta go. And then you get home, it's like, I got this scratchy throat, I can't. So it's the same concept as that, you know. The itch is there when you get a period, low key, because technically speaking, that's when you're able to start having children. I mean, it might not be there mentally because you're a child. You know, we get our periods at 11 and 12 years old, but technically speaking, nesting is something that happens to us probably intermittently throughout the time that we have, you know. But if you're so, you know, we're focused on school, you know, focus on high school and all these different things, you're not thinking about that. So the minute you sit down and settle, which I can speak for Black women, we don't get a lot of that. We don't get to sit still. Not sure why. Understand where this has come from. Right. But we very rarely sit still and settle and listen to our bodies and ourselves. And when you do that, I feel like that's when you'll feel a lot of things. You understand your body. A lot of us, that's why we be sick. We don't sit down and listen and pay attention to our bodies. A lot of us are having hormonal fluctuations, which causes angry Black woman. You know what I'm saying? Simply from eating something that had a chemical in it that caused us to be irritated. Because we're not angry. We're not angry. We're not angry at all. Black women are the most loving, caring, supportive human beings on the face of this planet. Mm-hmm. We make the world go round. When it's time to vote, we come out in droves. Yeah. We're most supportive. We are the highest. We Black women are the highest consumer. In America, we buy everything, we support, we show up, okay? So we couldn't possibly be angry, okay? We are irritated from fatigue, from stress, from trauma, and that is it's coming out in lashing out. We're not angry. And we, in no way, shape, or fashion, or form, do not want to do this thing without our Black men, or without men, period. I don't care what no woman say. It ain't a woman I know that's walking around here going, I'll do it by myself. I don't need no man. I'm all right by my... Okay, girl. Good luck with that lie. Because that's not the truth. We want a man to help us. We want a man to come in and take over. We just want a good man to do it. We want a man that's going to, you know, take care of us, and we want to feel safe. But we're not in the we don't have the liberty of that all the time. And you know how it is. It's a domino effect. Same thing happens with men. Mm-hmm. So it's a jacked up circle. They meet one woman that's a fool. Now the next woman, they sad at her, and vice versa. You know, the woman is sad at the man that messed up. You know, we just have to, we just need to take a step back and just individualize our experiences. We have to individualize our experiences in relationships. Johnny is not Jeff, and Sarah is not Susan. You see what I'm saying? That ain't what it is. But Johnny will be Jeff if you say Johnny is Jeff, mm-hmm. and Susan will be Sarah if you say Susan is Sarah.
Yep.
If you think you can, you think you can't, you're right. So normally when people are having a bad time in relationships, it's because of the mindset that they're bringing into the relationship. Not all the time, but normally it is. And if it's not their mindset, the other person's mindset is coming in a fool. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you get two people that have that same mindset of optimism and this gonna work, then there's the magic.
You know, when you're talking about a lot of black women that might be just so busy, you know, inundated with work and mm-hmm. these different things that push back the thoughts of family and children. Even as I speak, because I know a lot of these women, you know, I'm mm-hmm. I got some in my family. Mm-hmm. And, right. you know, even when I speak to them, if it seems like a lot of them are motivated more so by fear when I speak to them, whether that is the fear of poverty, like I never want to be poor again. I grew up this way. My parents did this. My mama did this. I never want to be like this. I never want to put myself in this situation. My family need me to do this and this and that. Or it's the fear of that I'll never have a good man because my father wasn't a good man. The first dude I dated wasn't a good man. The dude after that, my uncles ain't this and this ain't that. It seems it's a very fear-based mindset. Did you have any of that? You know, based no. on...
Okay.
Fear, what is fear? Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And what is anxiety caused from? Trauma, right? We've all experienced some form of trauma. First of all, a woman feeling like she has to take care of her family is out of order. It's not in sync in the alignment of what a woman should be even feeling and thinking. Somewhere a man dropped the ball, a father, a grandfather,
yes.
to make a woman think that she's supposed to take care of everybody. Technically, the woman is supposed to technically take care of the inside of the house. Father is the man is the outside of the house. Both of them being a team, mm-hmm. both of them have equal responsibilities, right? Doesn't mean just because she taking care of everything that's inside the house that she's not working. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that he's not helping inside the house because he's taking care of. It just means that if I'm the point, let me break it down in basketball. If I'm the point guard, okay, if I'm the big man, if I'm the five, I got to get rebounds. I got to get layups, I got to put the ball back, okay? If I'm the point guard, I got to facilitate. I'm mm-hmm. the floor general. I got to know where everybody's at. But that don't mean the point guard can't get rebounds.
Facts.
Right.
That don't mean the big man can't step out on the three and get busy. Because we're a team. Mm-hmm. But there are roles. And when you work inside of those roles, you can be successful. It doesn't make anyone less or more. Again, societal division, that's not what it was supposed to be. Back down, if you want to go all the way back, where the man go out and hunt for the food, they can bring it back to the woman, she cook it. You see what I'm saying? Right. Meanwhile, she taking the kids, they strapped on her back, the man, you know what I'm saying? It worked. You ain't see no Africans walking around, I'm sick of carrying these babies on my back and all these baskets on my head. You need to come here and carry these baskets. They wasn't doing that because the roles were set. And the team was set. Now, the teams that lose, the point guard shooting up all the balls, the big man don't want to keep getting no rebounds, everybody's out of their roles. They're not in sync.
Yeah.
You can't win when you don't play as a team. And when there's more than one person, you're a team. You have to act like a team. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we can start there with the woman thinking, I have to take care of my family. That should never even be that's a man's argument. I mean, I hear men that are scared to be in relationships because they want to make sure they can bring something to the table 100%. First. That's their thing. That's, you're out of sync. That's you taking on that responsibility. No one made you have that responsibility. And if someone did, they were wrong to do that to you. That's a trauma, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And a woman saying, you know, I was born out of poverty. I don't want to be poor. You can still work and or go marry a rich man.
Right.
You're automatically out of poverty. I don't understand. Or go find a man that's not rich or ambitious, got goals, that's popping. Got a dope-ass podcast. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And you see he moving and shaking and putting all his everything into something. He's optimistic. He's a winner. He's a fighter. He's a believer. Somebody that do something on a whim, I want that man. He's a believer, which means if something go wrong, he going to find that shit out. He going to figure the shit out. He going to go figure. I don't have to be like, okay, what do I have to do? He'll say, don't worry about it. I'm gonna work on it. I got it. That's what you want. Right. You want somebody that's gonna figure some shit out. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, all right, well, let me go over here and figure my shit out. You go figure this out. Teamwork, you know? So women thinking that they're out of sync, they're out of roles. I know women, though, who are working hard, successful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, Cherie's one of them. Single. And saying, you find me a man that's a turn up. Peace out to this job. All these people, we going where? To the house, to the church. He need me to do what? Go to the kitchen and cook.
Yeah.
How much food? When? I know a bunch of women who are successful, beautiful, and waiting for an ambitious, amazing, single man like yourself.
I 1,000% agree with that.
It's so many. Yeah. It's so many of them. It's ridiculous. And I'll be in my mind like, I've already told on Cherie, but my hairstylist is one of them. That girl's so fine, it don't make no sense. I'll be looking at her like, girl, why is you still single? She be, this year I'm getting somebody's son. And she fine. I'm talking about fine, fine. I'm talking about pin-up fine, fine, you know.
Right.
And I'll be like, Toya, and I'm talking about got her own hair salon, got her own business. You leave her no choice. What's she supposed to do? Sit around and wait on, sit on the porch and wait for y'all ass to show up? She's got to eat.
Right.
So she got to excel in her job. She's supposed to, I just going to stay at the on fries because I'm going to get a man and then I won't need to excel. No, we be on fries so long, we end up owning McDonald's. And then you mad because we own the McDonald's because y'all took so long. Now here you come. You just starting on fries.
Right.
And you mad because I'm the owner of the McDonald's. But I'm not even looking at you bad because you're on fries. I'm ready to pull you up. But because of your own insecurities, I don't want to be with no woman that own it. I need a woman on fries.
Right,
and then
right,
you get right. The woman that's on fries and she's a fool because she hasn't learned all the stuff that the woman that owns it has, and now you're mad because you didn't align yourself with a neep. That's what my father used to call stupid women back in the day, neeps. You didn't align yourself with a fool.
Oh man,
I'm glad you're speaking on this. Yeah, you did.
I gotta give examples because the people don't, they be acting like they don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, throw, you know, you gotta go, you know. You give examples. It's fun.
I'm going to use that now. Neeps.
Neeps.
With our audience, too, it's a lot of those women. Very successful, beautiful women.
Absolutely.
Who are still very optimistic and hopeful for a man.
Yes.
And still ready to play whatever role, you know, that man is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is assuming he's the right man.
Correct.
But I'm very glad you also spoke to the woman who is not there. Like, she has amassed that success. She's beautiful, but she's just like...
She hasn't gone through what the woman that owns the McDonald's has.
Right.
And that's not her fault. That's not her fault. And maybe she does need to be with the man on fries. But don't take this wrong. The man on fries be thinking he should be with the woman that's on it. In his mind, he thinks of himself as that level. Sometimes, sir, you're not ready. And then you pick a woman that's on fries with you, also growing and trying to figure herself out, but you're not in a predicament. Y'all don't want to learn. Y'all don't want to work with us. Y'all don't want to learn and work through our stuff. We angry. We done pissed you off. So you don't want to sit there and deal with some of the things that we're dealing with. You just want somebody to cater to your traumas and be okay with that. And that's where you want the roles to come into play. But you don't want them to come into play physically. You know what I'm saying? You want them to come into play emotionally. Because true tea, women are more equipped emotionally to deal with more than you guys are.
Right.
100%.
We have to be. We're mothers. We've nurtured the babies. This and ourselves. So we have to be able to have this emotional attachment. You know what I'm saying? You guys don't have that. And that's okay. You shouldn't. You don't need it. You need to be in a certain predicament mentally and emotionally so that you don't have to be so in your feelings when you're out here in this world dealing with all these demons all day long. You know what I'm saying? Hey, everybody's job is hard. The man is having a time. Women need to understand that. And the woman is having a time. And men need to just be okay, understand that. And I believe there are absolutely men and women that do. And I feel like more of these conversations should happen where there's women and men. Because I feel like it's a whole bunch of men over here talking. And it's a whole bunch of women over here on this podcast talking, you know, and ain't nobody talking to each other.
Right.
If we just sit down and talk to each other with an understanding heart, okay, I can see where that get on your nerve. You see what I'm saying? And then the man could say, I can see where that would annoy you that I do that. You know, it's more than the toilet seat at this point. Yeah. It's bigger than the toilet seat, you know. Women... At this point, we've gone through so much. We just really want a man to just say, I got it. You say, I got it to a strong woman. You won. You want to be with a, you want a woman that's going to turn up. You want that successful, strong woman? Sometimes. Because she got to be ready. She got to be good and tagged. Yep. She got to be good and tagged. Yep. Because she might be like, I don't need you to have it. I got it. I don't need you to have it. Or see that you have it a different way than she has it, and then get mad. I'll do it. You see what I'm saying? This woman has to be ready for you to say, I got it. But when you got it, when you get it. And then it's going to be, the pearly gates of love will open.
So how does a woman get ready for that? How does a woman position herself to be able to trust and confide in a man?
She got to go to Love McPherson. That's what she got to do.
That's
or a spirit. Right. She got to go to a therapist and do the work because she has to understand some of the things that she's doing so that she can become vulnerable enough for a good man to come in and do what he needs to do. In a man's defense, there has to be a bed made in order for him to lay in it. He can't just walk into a messy ass situation and expect him to fix all your shit. You got to be in a place where, like, I have single friends, and I tell them, what's your house look like? Do you know how to cook? Do you know how to wash clothes? Do you know how to clean? You know, a lot of single women, they're busy. Clothes is everywhere. This
yes.
Keep your house in a situation where if a man walk in, he just feel like, I'm at home. Now, I'm not saying every woman that's got a messy house, she terrible. Because you know that's it. That's not true. My house is messy and my man love it. That's what these dummies are saying in the comments. But the point is this.
Facts.
Meanwhile, Johnny got 17 women in the clean house.
And they clean.
On the west side.
And they clean.
But I digress. The point is this. Speak that man into your existence and into your environment. Create the environment for yourself so that when he comes in, it can't be anyone. Like, I had a situation one time where I invited someone to my house and I told them, don't bring anyone to my home. You know, don't bring nobody with you because I'm real funny about people in my house. I'm very Lord of the Lord, sage, oil on the windows. I'm that girl, right? So she brought some people with her after I told her not to do it. They nose started bleeding. They didn't get to stay.
Wait, they nose?
Their noses started bleeding.
Insane.
Because the spirit that is in my home is only going to be welcoming to a spirit that matches. So, women, create an environment that you want that man to be like.
Wow.
If you know, my mama always say, when your man come home, frat, she said, when you get a new house, fried chicken in it for the smell of the chicken. If you come into a house, a man remembers, my mama was smashy fried chicken. This makes me feel like I'm at home. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Create an environment for a man to feel comfortable in. He'll never want to leave. Now, hopefully it's the right guy, because you can get a fool that want to stay in there and be a womanizer and never want to leave and be trifling and don't do shit.
Right.
But if you create the environment, then I'm assuming that you're also the type of woman. Now, I say this as well. Women, stop setting standards and start setting boundaries. Mm. If you set boundaries, you don't need standards. So here go an example again. If my standards is this, he got to make over $100,000 a year. He need a car. He need to have a job. He need to have this. I need him to be tall, dark skin. He need to have a six-pack stomach. He need a Caesar cut. He need to, or dreads. I like him with beards. Like, because you know they tell you, you got to write your list of exactly how your man be.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So those are your standards. But you ain't got no boundaries. So God say, okay, here you go. He come in there, you ain't got a boundary set. He done ran up your credit card bills. He done cussed your ass out. He talked to you crazy. Come to the house when he feel like it. But if you set boundaries, oh, I don't do calls after this time. Oh, no, I go to church on this day. Oh, no, we do church. This is, no, I'm not doing that. No, I don't accept that. It will attract the man that is of the standards. However, he'll have standards internally instead of externally. That external standard man can then go create all those external things for the both of you now. If you set boundaries. You see what I'm saying?
I like
we setting standards.
I get it.
He need to have bottled water company. He need to have a car company. Yep. He need to be a podcaster. You know. Meanwhile, if you just set boundaries, I don't want no man calling me no bitch. I don't want no man that calls me past 10 p.m. I don't do that. You know, I like a man who's God-fearing. These are some of the boundaries that I set. You know, we have to praise the Lord together. Mm. You know, I'm all right with whatever, you know, if you call him alive, you call, you know, that's your business. But you have to have a foundation of Christ. You know, certain boundaries.
Right.
Instead of standards. He need a Rolls Royce. He need a Bentley. That's a standard. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to ask, well, why are you on that too? And, you know, this is probably a really good way to even look to close out the conversation, because in your previous interview, I saw you at your second date with your now husband was Bible study.
Is that is correct.
So that's interesting, by the way.
He didn't want to go. I have been in so many relationships where I have been attracted to those external things, professional athletes, whatever, you know, entertainer, whatever. And being R&B singer on Jive Records, you know, we got requests through our labels. Like men would call our publicists to take us out and stuff like that. So I'm in my 20s. That's too fun. Who said what? He want to go with? Or out in the club scene, you know, just dating, having a good time. But I in that dating process, which is awesome, I talked about this on, you know, Lip Service, how dating is collecting data. Mm-hmm. You need to date. You have to date. It's important. And ladies, dating means several men at the same time. And it's the same thing for men. They get to date several people at the same time. They're not solid with those people, with any of them. But they get to go out on dates and discover which person you should have that right. When I met my husband, we were dating, and it was Father's Day. I think I made some chicken parmesan or something for him. He gonna look at me and say, "Oh man, I might have to get rid of my starting five." I said, "This is a fool, but I can't hate on you. I don't know you before you trying to find your problem, because I got a starting five as well. You know, we out here with teams, you know. But, and not everybody you're sleeping with. This person could be a person that, you know, you go to the movies with, and maybe you have, or, you know, this person can be, you know, someone that likes to do literary stuff, like go to the library and go on long walks or whatever the case may be. You're collecting data.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What was my question? What was the question again?
Bible study.
Bible study.
Second date.
So, he, the first date was cute. That was the whole, I talked about on lip service. You know, we went to the Cheesecake Factory. I fell asleep on him. Then he called me at noon. And maybe because I probably mentioned that I don't like men calling me past a certain time. I think it's disrespectful and it automatically means booty call. Mm-hmm. If a man call you past 10, he's done with everything else that's before you that he put before you, and now you the last resort. He just want to come lay up.
Essentially.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. But if you set a boundary, men are quick. Ah, can't do that. Let me call at 12. You know, they're not dumb, okay? They're quick. We women keep calling past 11. Well, if I call at 10:59, it's not the same.
Right. Because
we think too much, you know. But he called at noon the next day, and he was like, hey, you want to go out or whatever? It wasn't the next day, maybe like 2 days later. Hey, you want to go out, blah, 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 blah. It might be a week later. I don't remember. But I was like, well, you know, I have Bible study tonight at 7:30. So, and at the time, I really, really loved my church. And I was really, I love Bible study. We were in the middle of a series, and I couldn't miss it, you know. I mean, when Bible study have a series, you just don't want to miss it, because then you're set back for a right. long time, you know. And if you don't have no friends in the same series, then, you know, you don't have nobody to call, right? So I was by myself. But he was just like, oh, all right then. So I was like, okay, well, I'll see you around. Because I said, well, you want to go meet to Bible study? No, I'm cool. I was like, oh, okay then. He was like, all right then. I was like, okay, bye. And I guess he didn't think I was going to be like, no, I'm going, boundary. Mm. This is important to me. So in his mind, okay, I want this girl. Let me see. Okay, I like God. God is cool. look here, I think I'm going to be going to the Bible study tonight. Then he called me right back. I think I'm going to go to Bible study. I was like, okay, cool. That's too fun. Come on. He goes to Bible study. He's nervous the whole, he's just kind of fidgety in church all the time. But after he went, he really loved it.
Wow.
And wanted to go back all the time. And that became our home church.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody just got to want it. They got to want it.
But now here's the thing now. I want to know how important that is. We actually had Dr. Umar on the show. He made a statement saying that because of the amount of men that's available, mm-hmm. it's not a good idea for women to make a certain man's religion non-negotiable.
Did I make them?
Now, no, and that's what I'm about to get
to. You see what I'm saying?
Should you, because a lot of ladies say, especially, you know, whether you Muslim, you Christian, if I'm Christian, I'm only dating a Christian man. If I'm Muslim, I'm only dating a Muslim man.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's the wrong way to go about it?
I don't believe in religion. So I believe in, I'm God-fearing. You know, I follow God, I follow Christ. Christian as in following Christ. Missionary Baptist is a religion. Pentecostal, you know, right. Muslim, Buddhist, you know, that I feel like those kind of concepts separate people when we all follow in love on one God. He's just called something different, right? My father was a Muslim.
Wow.
My mother was a Christian. I prayed to the East just because I love my father. I used to love him. I used to love what it did for him. I think Islam is fantastic. I think Farrakhan is the best. You know, I grew up in a house hearing his teachings all the time, and what he did for black men is can't be duplicated. You know, he galvanized us in such a way, in such a prestigious way, where black men look like the kings that they are. You see what I'm saying? And black families and black women and black children. He really, you know, to me, the honorable Elijah Muhammad and those teachings. Now, granted, they went through their stuff. They was a fool in all religions. We got Catholics that's a fool.
Right, right.
There's a fool in religion. People in God are, first of all, they're public enemy number one in terms of, or they're targets for the devil. The devil want to take them out of here faster than the speeding mm-hmm. bullet, because if there's no leaders, there's no followers, correct? So, of course, you're going to see a lot of foolishness inside the church because the devil's constantly trying to take away all of God's leaders.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But my father praying to the East stopped him from drinking, smoking cigarettes, eating pork, eating anything that was really bad. He smoked weed really bad, but there's nothing you can do about that. Right. But it made him be a better, that was part of, I watched him grow as a better human man. Being. You yeah. see what I'm saying? Islam didn't help his mental. He needed to see Allah of McPherson. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But therapy wasn't popular at that time. So, you know, and then the music business was what it was. But my father, you know, whatever. The point is, and I had a boyfriend who was a Muslim. The problem is sometimes they don't want to be with anyone outside of their religion. Mm. You know, if a woman is not, you know, is not of Islam, then if she's not a Muslim, that could be a problem with them because there's certain type of laws and bylaws that they abide by. You know what I'm saying? But then I know men who are Muslims and their women are not Muslims and they're okay. You know what I'm saying? I know people who are Catholic, their spouse is not. You know what I'm saying? I definitely don't think that you should, if my husband found chanting to be freeing for him in Buddhism, that's wonderful. Whatever is going to be freeing for them, that's their personal growth and their personal journey. I feel like, though, personally, just for me, I feel like someone should have a higher power. You would want to be with somebody who has a higher power. And I'm definitely not messing with nobody talking about they're atheists. And I don't care what nobody say. If you don't believe in some kind of God, I'm good. If you don't believe in some kind of higher power, some people don't want to call them God. Some people just are high spiritual beings, mm-hmm. which is also fine. But believing in something and knowing that we ain't just pop up here, you ain't just come here by yourself, it came on the world on earth alone by ourselves. You got to be able to believe in something. Because if you don't believe in anything, you'll fall for anything. And I can't be with no man that's going to fall for something. Like I said earlier, you got to know how to fight. And the only way that me and Kiwan, and this is just me and my husband, we got on our knees and prayed through a lot of stuff together and out loud because of our personal beliefs. And I'm sure that couples in Islam do the same under the umbrella of their beliefs, because that's how you get through things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to know that something's bigger than you. That's the only way you're going to understand how to humble yourself, is if you know that there's something bigger than you and that you don't have to do this here thing called life alone. Mm-hmm. Well, who would want to think that? Who would want to think that they're just out here in the world doing shit alone?
Yeah,
that's terrible. I don't want to be with nobody that's like that. Now, I understand what Dr. Umar is saying, because I love Dr. Umar. He's great.
Yeah.
I love him. I'm so sorry. He's really awesome.
Yeah, he's dope.
He gets people told, and it's very fun. But I agree with him in that. I don't think you should force anyone to be what you are. Why would you want to do that? You want to be with somebody that's not an individual? You want to be with somebody who can't think for themselves? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to bring something new?
Man, let me tell you something. That conversation, it can go on for weeks with people having different opinions and views, because, I mean, we do a really great job bringing on a diverse set of people from, you know, artists.
I understand, though, where it could be a problem. I mean, it's obvious where it could be a problem.
What you gonna teach your kids when they growing up? You know what I'm saying? Which church we going to on Sunday? You know, like,
my best friend is Seventh-day Adventist. She had to marry a Seventh-day Adventist man. Mm. All the children are Seventh-day Adventists.
And I understand it, you know, as well.
I know couples that they still ain't happy. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it can work.
The kids still be a fool. Yeah. It don't guarantee success.
It don't guarantee success for sure.
Correct.
You know, so in many ways, it is a preference, mainly because we've seen, you know, different styles work, you know, in different forms. Just as we've seen, the same people can marry and it fail.
Well, did God create us to be separate?
No.
I don't know. You know? I believe that there is, just like sororities and fraternities, people are not the same. They don't think the same. They don't move the same. We were not created to be the same person, you know, but we were not created to be separate.
Yeah.
You know? I'm a woman of Zeta Phi Beta sorority. There's a certain type of woman that is a Zeta woman. There's a certain type of woman that is Alpha Kappa Alpha woman. There's a certain type of woman that is a Delta Sigma Theta, Sigma Gamma Rho. These are all different kinds of women, but we are all under the umbrella of National Pan-Hellenic Council. We're all black women. Mm-hmm. We're all mothers of the earth. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, that commonality beats out whatever thing you choose to follow. I like books that are fiction. You like books that are only biographical, you know, autobiographical. We still like books. Right. You see what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, were we meant to be separate? Or were we meant to, we weren't meant to think the same, but we weren't meant to, we were not, I don't think we were meant to be separate. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think that society, with segregation and all that stuff, I think that society has separated us. Now, some may argue that segregation was the worst thing that could have happened to Black people. Probably because we never ever had a time, we were not allowed to be integrated. When we were forced to be together and by ourselves, you didn't allow us to be great in that. So being segregated jammed us up, you know, or being apart and having to, oh, we're segregation. We're now all together and everybody's, you know.
Oh, you mean assimilation.
Right. Assimilation. We fought against segregation. Correct.
Yeah.
So the thing is, segregation was probably terrible. We fought for segregation, right?
No, for integration. We fought to be integrated.
We fought for integration. Right. Yes. Correct. But we should have been segregated. Mm. A lot of Black people will argue that segregation was probably something we should have done.
That's Malcolm X.
Correct. Because we were, and like I'm saying, let me reverse that then. We were not allowed to be segregated happy. Mm-hmm. You didn't allow us to be segregated successful.
Right.
So we couldn't be segregated and knowing who we were. We couldn't go inside. We couldn't be integrated in our own selves to understand our own culture and people. So being assimilated and being out in the world with everybody else jammed us up because it kind of diluted us even further. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Had we been solid, you know, white people were solid and they evil.
They were all on the same page. They were solidly evil.
So, you know, they were already... We know who we are. We're superior. They're solid in who they are. They can't be moved. You know what I'm saying? So people are coming into their life. Everything is coming into their stuff. You know what I'm saying? Whereas we were not immigrants, but you made us feel like it. Mm. You know. So I don't think we were designed in God's eyes to be separated. But I do think that we are designed to think different based on the experiences that we will all differently go through.
That's how we grow.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all just going to have one organization. Everybody just going to be a Mason. You know, we just gonna all wake up. We're going to the Mason house. And if you ain't a Mason, you need to die. You know, what are we doing? Yeah. So there needs to be differences. And if you're open to things, you'll learn from each one. You'll have more to learn from. Mm. In my opinion, I love Muslim men. I think they're awesome. I think they're some of the most respectful. You know, if you're thinking about a man who's like a king, they carry themselves
with different.
This type of arrogance that's so popping, you know.
The discipline, the confidence
in men who are, and not all of them. Right. Some of them just say they Muslims and then they don't pray.
The ones who really practice. And that's right. That's for across all the ones who really practice.
A lot of them praying right now. I think they're in Ramadan right now. You don't even know where they're at. They just disappear off the face of the earth and they come back skinny. You know, it's those men, and they have respect for women. They speak respectful to women. They don't, you know, I have a good time with Muslims. And then I know Christian men who are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Respectful. They carry themselves like kings. They speak that God first, them second. You know, I know Christian men who are just absolutely, I'm going to tell you something. For women, that is super attractive.
Well, listen, I'm again very proud of you. And guys, y'all already heard it. Y'all heard the singles. We got Monsters in the Closet. And what was the first one?
The one that's currently out is Black Balloon. And Black it's about Balloon. Black people.
But guys, listen, Black Balloons. Go ahead and get that right now. Apple Music, YouTube everywhere. Go ahead and get that joint. Put this amazing, incredible, therapeutic music in your ears. You have been an incredible artist.
I talk a lot. Which is probably why I'm a songwriter, you know. It's just something I do.
I grew up hearing your voice. I had All Falls Down on like repeat growing up in middle school.
Y'all really like that song, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
The whole world.
Yeah, exactly. Really like that song. You still
and they really like that singing, and it's so weird. I just said the same thing over and over again. It wasn't even no lyrics.
But you like I don't what even know how you I hit that note.
So feel it,
that note. Yeah. I don't like you gotta really warm up. Can you
it's
like
the anointing?
It's the anointing
that God has laid upon it.
Oh my
head,
goodness.
My crown.
Beautiful voice. But listen, thank you guys so much for staying this long on this episode here, making it all the way to the end. If you have made it this far, please go ahead. Your contribution is you pressing that subscribe button to help us continue to grow this platform and become what Hardly Initiated is destined to become here. So thank you for subscribing. Thank you for watching. And y'all already know how it goes down. Hardly Initiated. We are out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.